Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Details at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the September 27 edition of Commodity Week. Well, the combines are rolling in the Midwest. The quick ships have disappeared, and the grain stocks report is due out Monday. We'll try to figure out the impact of each of these and so much more today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Greg Ginder. He's with FC Stone out of Chesterfield, Missouri. Our panelists in studio today include Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities from Lafayette, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign County. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, let's begin our discussion with this question. Kurt Kimmel, on Monday, the United States Department of Agriculture will release its latest grain stocks report telling what was left over from last year. Will it hold any surprises, do you suppose?
I don't really believe so. I mean, we're always subject to surprises, but it's going to be a pipeline supply. We were empty, and I think they're going to put a pipeline number on it. We robbed old new crop to fill old crop demand, so trade's expecting somewhere around 650 to 690 million bushel old corn and beans anywhere from 115 to 120 million bushels. So we'll see where the numbers lay. It's going to be short-lived. What's more important is probably yield reports after the weekend.
And Bill Mayer?
I would tend to agree with Kurt, although, you know, last year we probably had about a billion two corn harvested, new corn harvested prior to September 1st. This year we probably had 400 million bushels. So logic would tell you, if you use the analysis they did last year, that we should have used more old crop corn and maybe drawn the stocks down. But I really don't expect that to happen. I think we'll be right in the ballpark there with the average guess.
And Bill Gentry.
We talked about that coming over. If we do get a surprise number, it's probably going to be bigger than expected, and that would probably be catch the trade by surprise because we've already traded the pipeline supply for a number of months.
And so if we had something that was bigger and based off of last year, you add in what, another, I don't know, 100,000, 100 million, or 100? What do you add in? 100 million? What do you add in?
Yeah, you probably do a couple hundred million on top of that, on top of what the USDA is or what the trade estimates are.
And take it back up to 800?
Yeah, I think realistically that would be a surprise number.
Yeah, that'd be a surprise number. So I guess we'll see. We'll know at 11 o'clock on Monday, won't we?
Sure.
And I think the basis levels there in last part of August, first part of September, the way they dropped would tell you that, you know, we did have supplies that the processors were getting corn bought from somewhere. So I think that kind of backs up the fact that we had adequate supplies anyhow.
Oh, wow. So it may be a more interesting report than I was thinking up front, I suppose.
Well, this is just a hypothetical situation.
Well, those numbers are going to be carried into the new crop supply-demand balance sheet.
Right.
And the thing is, on the new crop, this current production, there's a lot of moving parts in there, so it's going to add to the drama, I guess.
Drama it is. December corn this week, a $4.59 top, bottom at $4.48. Surprisingly enough, in the face of harvest, it was up 3 cents at $4.54 on the week, December of next year. A half cent higher. It finished at $4.92 and a quarter. Not a bad week, and I don't know. It finished with an outside hookup, didn't it?
The futures held in there fairly well and showing signs of stability. We still got a lot of harvest to go through. But a lot of spread activity, a lot of selling the beans, buying the corn, helped give us support. You got to remember the commodity funds were fairly huge shorts in the corn, so it's just not going down quite as fast or quite as hard as what the trade wanted us to do here.
I guess I should correct myself, a hookup rather than an outside up, but a hookup in both the December and the July contract bodes well for the price of corn.
Yeah, and I think the wheat was the leader here this week. We had some talk about the freeze down in Argentina. We had Brazil came in, bought some wheat from us. That made the wheat go higher and I think helped stabilize the corn, pull it up a little bit. I think probably, 15 to 20% maybe harvested on Monday is kind of what I think the trade's expecting.
Is that where you are too?
Yeah, as far as percent harvest, that's probably about right. But I'd say one thing to watch going into next week is you've got a potential double bottom on the daily chart. The lows held Monday and Tuesday. You had overnight sales announced on the USDA's reporting system, back to back days. I don't remember the last time that happened, and that basically tells you the world thinks we've got at least some value here.
Well, they've got some value. Double bottoms are made to hold or made to break. Which one?
Well, under the circumstances, it could establish itself as a double bottom. We just need to find some more support next week and start building on this week's little recovery effort.
Mm-hmm. And now what are you hearing about crops as they're coming in for corn?
Well, it's typical producer talk. It's about like riding through the combine, watching the yield monitor. It's everywhere. Seems Southern Illinois is, seeing best yields ever. Then it just goes from location to location according to the weather they had over the growing season. But for the most part, it indicates that production on yield might need to come up a notch here, knowing what we know now, not what we see later on, the later stuff.
Eastern Corn Belt is really good. The Western Corn Belt is average, and both of those are above what anybody was thinking.
Yeah, I think that's the case. We've got a pretty small sampling in the Eastern Corn Belt, and even smaller in the Western Corn Belt at this point. But I would say, Illinois, my client base, we're average or a little bit better. We've got some big yields out there, like Kurt said, in Southern Illinois especially. But there's some average and some below average out there, too. It's all over the board, just depending on the rains.
Yeah, and we've definitely heard some significant numbers. We've heard some estimates that farm averages could be as high as 230 bushel in corn. We're hearing some bean yields as far as well into the 70s, upwards of 80. So, I think the production numbers could come up over time, but we're going to have to watch the next 2 weeks as we get into the harvest progress and as we get to the midpoint, see if those yields stand in.
October is the month in which the crop insurance is set again, this time around, for the harvest price. Anything that producers need to consider as we go through the month of October?
I think at the current price levels, I'm not sure that we do. If you look at a 180 bushel APH and an 85% coverage, you're down here, 480 or below, you're probably looking at a claim. I don't think we're far enough into that, though, that a guy wants to try to lock anything in or anything like that.
Well, one thing to remember, though, is this crop insurance runs out. If you store this crop, you're going to be subject to some price risk as we move on down the road. So the crop insurance program has done its thing in through here. If you're planning on hanging on, I'd recommend maybe looking at the deferred contracts to give yourself a little protection until you actually move the crop out.
And then, in fact, the marketplace is telling producers, run it over the scale if you want, but pay for it and store it.
Yeah, it depends on your own situation. There's some premium out there. If you can grab it, take it, especially in beans. The market wants the beans up front here, and you can replace ownership on the back end and on ideas. Maybe they might have a problem in the Southern Hemisphere. There's tons of things you can do out there to help manage your situation.
Yeah, and now that the market's gone to carry, which is something we haven't seen for 2 to 3 years, there is some incentive to store, but you still need to get some downward price protection in place.
December wheat at 454, settlement price up 3 cents, and July contract at 481, up 2.25 week over week. You mentioned the fact that Argentina was having some problems, although on the global stocks side, wheat numbers are pretty strong. Is there any indication that the Southern Hemisphere will not come through and will need wheat from the United States next year?
Oh, I don't know that we have that indication, but we did see some sales being made there. And I guess the news was that the buyers got out of just their lackadaisical attitude and decided maybe they better get off the standing still and get something done. And I think that was kind of the incentive here this week.
I want to stay with you for just a second because producers will be sowing wheat across to the nation, soft red winter wheat, of course, here in the state of Illinois and to the east of us. Is there a reason that if they put the wheat in the ground, they should protect this price?
I guess at this point, we've got a small percentage, 20-25% protected. I'd probably just stay at that right now till you get it in the ground at least.
Yeah, we feel lightly sold here, but we're kind of encouraged technically what we're seeing and even fundamentally what we're seeing through here, that there's some recovery in the wheat market here as we go into early winter.
Yeah, some light sales might be in order, especially on bounces. But the other thing, going back to why we kind of rallied this week, was some frost scares in Argentina. They thought quite a bit of the wheat down there was subject to some frost damage, and they've got additional threats this weekend.
Let's turn our attention to the soybean market. November contract at a high of this week of $13.28 a bushel. The low at $13.25. Settlement price up 4.5 cents at $13.19.75. November of next year at $11.74 up 2.75. The bean meal settled for $19.90. That was $6.50 higher. And bean oil at $41.51 finished down 58 cents. Bean futures still kind of the star of the marketplace.
Yeah, it was been interesting to watch the spread behaviors today. The flat price was not overly aggressive, but the spreads firmed up very, very nicely, pulling some inventory forward, so to speak, and we continue to get some meal business. So as long as the meal market stands in, we probably got a good price.
Telling producers to go ahead and sell over the scale?
For the most part, selling value, they've already made some commitments, and then basically we think that the upside in beans is practical, especially if yields taper off. So we've got some sales made, but we're also thinking about putting some in the bin.
We're looking at sales up front. I guess an amazing thing to me is with some of the activity that's really picked up this week and some of the yields that are out there, that the bases and the futures have both held in there pretty well. And that kind of surprised me, I guess, a little bit. And I think a farmer needs to take advantage of that.
Yeah, it's an excellent opportunity and some replacement in the deferreds if you do move some. One idea is that if South America don't get all the acres in, they said, or some production concerns in the Southern Hemisphere, that spread could reverse. But right now, the bull spread's the place to be.
Are you going to protect?
Always protect.
Always protect. Okay. I'm sorry. Always protect. Always protect. So sell over the scale and then protect, right? And
hedge your hedge.
Okay. And so how are you going to go about doing it?
Oh, there's several strategies you want to do. One thing you don't want to do is sell, then go out and buy a lot of premium in July options way out there. There's a lot of time value in there unless you do some type of covered position. But there's all kinds of strategies. And a lot of the people you have on your program can give you some helpful hints that you feel comfortable doing.
Yeah, I think there's some incentive to do that. I'm not pushing that real hard right now. I mean, when I look at the price levels they're selling and the yields that they're getting, we look at from profitability, and it looks pretty darn good right now.
Yeah, and we've been looking at re-ownership from our cash sales and then looking at some $15 or $16 calls to re-own out in the January, just in case the yield does not pan out like the USDA thinks that it will, and if South America would happen to get into some additional weather trouble.
And the other item that's coming up in the month of October is the crop production report. Could have acreage changes. What other things might happen?
Well, I think the acreage is a big thing. I think we discussed earlier you could see some change on the corn yields. I'm not sure that we're far enough along here to do a lot of changes on the bean yields, but of course that's always a possibility. I think we could see some reduction in demand possibly on corn, not big numbers though.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of fine-tuning, but I believe the carryout estimate is going to be fairly close to where we are right now.
Yeah, speaking of demand, the export numbers for soybeans were really nice this week.
Yeah, we've got some additional bean business, and also the corn numbers come up nicely the last couple, 3 weeks. So we think realistically, if the supply side of the balance sheet goes up, the demand side would probably come up, especially in the corn, because there's a lot of countries around the world that don't have much inventory, and they'd like to get a little cushion in their safety stocks or residual stocks.
On the demand side, the livestock numbers finished off the week like this. The October live cattle at 128.25 were up 230. They gapped higher on the week. The feeder cattle at 164.12.5 were up $3.90, also gapped higher on the week. And the lean hogs at 92.92.5 were up $2.87.5. It was a really good week for the livestock, and then the Hogs and Pigs report came out on Friday afternoon, and it looks like it might be bearish on Monday.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, we made new contract highs earlier on in the week in the hogs, and with this kind of report, everybody's probably going to be leaning in the wrong direction. So from a technical perspective, if they break down on Monday, there's probably going to be quite a few longs that aren't going to be very happy.
On the flip side, it showed that the June to August hog and piglets would be pretty good size. That might be good news for the corn and the bean meal market.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's positive to corn and bean meal. I think it's bearish to the hogs. Just a note to those people that do use the LGM contract out there, it's out this afternoon as we speak here and should have some good margins that may be worth taking advantage of.
But when you look at behind the scenes, the shareholder approval of the aging company buying Smithfield's probably the most bullish thing we'll see over a history of agriculture, as we believe this sale is totally food security for China. And so down the road, this is extremely bullish. The pork sector, as Asia takes our pork chops and leaves chop suey here for us.
On that note, we'll wrap up the front end of our program. When we come back, we'll talk with Greg Ginder. He's with FC Stone. Out of Chesterfield, Missouri, our panelists in studio today include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing from Champaign, Illinois, and Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. You can always hear our programs again on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey. Well, we're approaching the end of a warm, dry September. Statewide temperatures have been about 3 degrees above average for the month. The statewide precipitation is at 1.6 inches, which is about half of average. However, we do have one last chance for rain this weekend. Because of the continued dry weather the last 90 days, the U.S. Drought Monitor has expanded D2 extreme drought farther into central Illinois and D0 abnormally dry conditions farther into southern Illinois. Except for some wet areas in southeastern Illinois, much of the state is now 25 to 75% of average rainfall over the last 90 days. The National Weather Service forecasts indicate that we have a 40 to 60% chance for rain on Saturday and a 60 to 80% chance on Sunday. Some locations could see totals up to 1.2 inches, but most areas are more likely to see between 1/2 to 1 inches. Daytime highs on Saturday will be in the low 80s. Overnight lows will be in the upper 40s in the northwest, the 60s in the southeast as the cold front moves through. Highs on Sunday will be in the 70s, and just like last week, daytime highs will slowly climb into the low 80s by midweek, and nighttime lows will be in the mid to upper 50s. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
This is the September 27 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Bill Mayer, Kurt Kimmel, and Bill Gentry. On the phone line from FC Stone in Chesterfield, Missouri, is Greg Ginder. Thank you for taking the time and being on the show, Greg. Why don't you introduce yourself to our audience, please?
Well, thanks for having me, Todd. Again, my name is Greg Ginder. I've been in the grain business for just shy of 10 years now, 5 years with ADM at a few different locations, and 3 years with FC Stone trading futures and options. So, no stranger to the grain markets, that's for certain.
Hey, Greg, as we talk to producers, it's kind of obviously they like to get sold up, and they got quite a bit of grain to get caught up on selling here as we move through the marketing year. But what about on the commercial side? What are you hearing on the commercial side? Are they pretty well eager to buy on these breaks?
Going into this week, Thursday and Friday, Monday of this week, there was some noticeably very good hedging that was taking place. Conventional, looked like farmers selling. There was quite a bit of corn, quite a bit of wheat. We didn't see so much of beans, and I can only attribute that to, you know, the slower or the timing of the bean harvest, more so in Mississippi, Arkansas right now. But yeah, there was definitely some commercial activity in some of these grains, well, on some of these run ups, especially with the wheat doing what it did.
Greg, what we talked about the stocks report on Monday coming up. What's your thoughts as you go into Monday as far as the corn stocks number? Where do you think they may come in at?
Well, the corn stocks, I guess as far as Monday's report goes, I'm kind of more interested in what they may say as far as beans and wheat. I think corn stocks, they come in probably around trade estimates would be my guess. You know, 690, you know, anywhere in there wouldn't shock me whatsoever. I guess as far as corn goes, it just seems like the least path of resistance is lower. And it feels like the market has just kind of given up the ghost on corn right now.
Taking that into consideration, and the market's worked its way to a carry situation, how much a carry do you think this market's going to attribute? And also, being a little bit closer to the river, what do you think the export prospects are for next year?
Well, as far as the carries go, I would, well, just as an example, I heard down in Helena, I believe, that ADM had put down a ground pile down there. So I would trust that our friends at ADM would understand what kind of financing and return they would expect on a ground pile of that size. So obviously, in their opinion, the carries are probably going out, I would assume, 80-90%. If this crop is as big as what is being forecasted, I mean, I just don't know how a guy couldn't look at these markets and see a carry that he wouldn't like to sell. I'm sorry, what was the second part of your question?
Being closer to the river, the expectations as far as exports, because our basis level on the river was fairly soft late in the season. Do you expect it to pick up a little bit?
I do. I've kind of been one of the contrarians in that aspect. I like the idea of short crops having long tails. I think that these basis levels, even though they may erode 1 month versus the next, I think that the amount of time that it would take to really fill in this pipeline is going to be substantial. I'm looking somewhere around the first of the year before, and maybe even more so an indication of a South American crop before we really break this basis to some really ugly negatives. You know, we did have some very good numbers as far as export sales come out this week, and I can kind of see that continuing on.
Are you bullish to the corn market?
You know, let's just put it this way. I would say the least path of resistance is lower on this corn market because of the yield that we're seeing. I would call it more so steady, especially as far as the front month goes. I think that 450 provides a very big support level in this corn market. I think that you find a lot of active buyers at these levels and maybe even some reluctant sellers.
So it sounds like you think we're going to get into basically a range-bound trade, maybe between $4.50 and $5 or slightly over $5 for the foreseeable future until we see demand after the first of the year?
I mean, yeah, that's kind of the majority of trades that we've been finding here has been a situation where they want to lock in the price, but they also want to participate if it was to go up. So a buying a $4.50 December put and selling a $5 call to finance it a little bit is not uncommon. Matter of fact, it's very common, at least for the last couple of weeks.
So what would be your price range looking between now and next spring on corn and beans both?
Well, I mean, that is well, that's a loaded gun. I would say that you, like I said, 450, I really think it is a very good medium. Therefore, I would be the $4 to $5 guy. I think anything that would raise this market to $5, whether it be a bean rally or a wheat short covering or a legitimate wheat rally, You know, I think it will drag. I think it will drag corn with it. I think they're not so mutually exclusive that one won't follow the other to one degree or another. You could see in the previous rally of corn that the shorts got squeezed, and there was some option coverage there, and we run ourselves up to $5. I don't see any reason why that can't happen again. I don't think anybody shorting this corn market is so strong that they're willing to pay a good deal of margin, and that would be mostly funds. But no, I would say $4 would seem cheap to me. Since the ethanol industry has boomed the way that it is and has rooted itself in our energy system, I think a $4 corn number is very very attractive.
So
and
I think it's very
bottomy.
I guess, Greg, my question would be, we've talked about the yields here, just some tremendous yields out there on corn. I mean, in this day and age with Twitter and email and text messaging, there's no secrets out there. I mean, that's in the trade, I think. Why haven't we been able to break the corn back down through the August lows at this point?
That's a very good question. I would say that it has a lot to do with processors, and I think it is. I think it has a lot to do with the basis levels you're seeing right now out in the country. There's a lot of nervous interior users that are looking for some type of coverage, in which case I think they may have been buying some D-Smart spread. I think that may have attributed to some of it. I mean, you're only looking at, what, about 11.5-cent spread. If that was full carry, that would be out towards 14, 15. You know, I think you're seeing a lot of value buyers. I think you're seeing some very reluctant short sellers. And I think you're seeing two other commodities in beans and wheat that have shown some strength or at least some stability. And I think, you know, if those commodities were to slip, I think you would see corn make a new low.
Touching on basis a little bit further, what we've seen over the last couple of years, very volatile basis action. And then here again this fall, we've seen processor bids that come and go pretty quickly. What kind of a pattern do you see going forward in that?
Well, I think it follows probably the same river model. The river is obviously a secondary market to the interior, and that is going to hold, I think, for quite some time. The basis levels that I'm looking for in the next 3 months, as far as the interiors go, I believe they'll still be overs until we hit the gut slot of this harvest, start getting into central Illinois and southern Iowa and northern Illinois. And once the farm storage is filled up, I think the overrun, if it hasn't hit the processor, it will hit them first and follow that by the river. I think you'll see once the processor starts backing off, I think you'll really see the river start to erode. Now, I don't believe that will hold. I think it will just be a short-term pipe filling, call it what, just filling the pipe. But it definitely is a situation where basis is probably going to get weaker in the short term.
Greg, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Greg Ginder is with FC Stone out of Chesterfield, Missouri. A final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Kurt Kimmelow.
There's a lot of market in front of us. There's going to be a lot of opportunity. The main theme is to stay flexible, to take advantage of these moves.
And Bill Mayer?
We talked a lot about carry in the corn market today. I think the bottom line is here, we're going to get carry. You're going to have to make some moves to take advantage of it. It's not going to be a year to just store the corn and then forget about it, I don't think.
And Bill Gentry.
Yeah, and assuming that we do get into a range-bound market, we got to be mindful of the price level and potentials and be prepared to sell those rallies and try to lock in that return to storage.
And that wraps up this 27th of September edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason from University of Illinois Extension. Our panelists in studio again, Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities. You have a very good week. Be safe on the combine, and I'm Todd Gleason.